Hey, church family, it's Palm Sunday. I never imagined that we would be spending our Easter season using technology over a broadcast, connecting with us in your homes. But I'm grateful that you're allowing us to come into your homes and celebrating Easter this way with us. I have to be honest, it has been hard. I've missed you guys so much. My family misses you. Our church staff misses you. And we think about you and we pray for you often. And we just know that God is with us through this. And he will bring us through this storm together. And when we come back, we'll be stronger than ever before. But before I begin with our message today, I want to also say a very special thank you because we owe a debt of gratitude right now to so many faithful men and women who are serving in the public sector right now. Whether you're a police officer or a fire department person, paramedic, doctor, in the hospital, ER nurses, all across through the line, we know that you guys are making huge sacrifices. We also know that those that are cleaning the hospital, taking care of all the cleaning details that need to be done, you guys are sacrificing your time. So if you're a cleaning professional, we appreciate that as well. If you're a restaurant worker, a grocery store clerk, or anyone that's helping keeping things flowing during this time, we say thank you. We could not do this without you, and we owe you a huge debt of gratitude, and we are forever grateful. We're praying for you. We're also praying for your health and for your safety. We're praying for you to stay rested, and we're praying and trusting that God is going to keep you protected throughout this season. I want to lead us in a prayer time, church family, as we lift these professionals up, and also remembering our government officials who are having to make some very difficult decisions, some very unpopular decisions. Let's pray together. Father, I know that you are at work, and I know that you're aware of everything taking place in our environment, in our communities, in our country, on this earth right now. And we're trusting, Lord, that you have all those things under control. But in our frailty as humans, we have to still navigate uncertain times. And as the common folks of the land, the working class people, Father, for many of us, we're just kind of in a waiting pattern. But there are other medical professionals and trained professionals and civil servants and community leaders that right now this is no time for them to rest. This is a time for them to make some of the biggest decisions they'll ever make. These are defining moments, and for many, they're proving to be the finest hours in the lives of these professionals. So, Father, I ask right now that you would protect them, not only them individually, Father, but their families, as they come home every day to a house full of people who are trusting that they are safe and want to embrace their parents, but fearful also of quarantines and needs to have social distancing at home. And so I pray right now that you would just protect them, that you would encourage them, that you would allow them to get the rest they need so they can go back and do another hard day at work. And so, Father, we know that you're in control. We thank you for your provision, and we thank you for your protection. We pray, Lord, that you would be with our governor and our president in this time. Strengthen them. Help them to become the leaders that you have chosen them to be. Father, your word says that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and you give those positions to whoever you choose. And so, Father, we know the people that are in leadership right now on this globe are those that you've selected. And so, Father, we pray for them, and we come into agreement that you will equip them for making the right decisions for this season. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. You know, we're in a season right now where the novelty of the safer at home is certainly worn off. I know it has for me. You know, working at home, staying at home, the kids are at home, which means we have school at home. For many of you, it feels like you're more on house arrest than you are on a safe at home order from the government. I know the governor. I know that many parents are right now wishing they had some type of cone of silence that they could put over them as they're working from home. It's difficult to have everyone there, but I pray that it's a rich time. I pray that it's a joyful time. Although boredom is setting in and the kids are going stir crazy and maybe your thumb is cramping, scrolling so much through your device, or Maybe you've had to replace your battery on your remote control already. If so, don't tell anybody. That would just be embarrassing. But, you know, I also know that we have to find new ways to entertain ourselves. I've read this week, it's crazy that people are actually exercising. They're going out of their house these days to do things. Whoever ever thought that would have been possible, that's just crazy talk. But you know, all kidding aside, I know that this is a crazy time. And when the governor came on the news just a couple days ago and said that there would be a 30-day safe at home order that is now adding on to the time that we've already kind of braced for, I know for me, I took a deep breath. I kind of just shook my head and tried to breathe in and prepare for another length of time that I had not budgeted for mentally. Does that happen to you as well? Where you kind of thought it may be shorter and kind of hoped it'd be shorter, but now it's turning out to be longer and it's getting more difficult. For some of you, that means that there's a little panic that's happening in your life right now, a little fear, because perhaps you've lost your job already, you've been laid off, and you're waiting for that government assistance to come, but right now there is some financial pressures, some real financial pressures that are scaring you. I just want you to know we're praying for you. We're asking God to provide for you. As you were faithful to give to him, I pray that God would be faithful to return those things to you now and provide for you in this hour, in this season. For some of you, your immediate thought when the governor said 30 more days is thought, I got to get more toilet paper. So, you know, if that's you, kind of leave some for some of us. You know, we all need it too. But here's the good news, though, church family. One day, and hopefully soon, in the future, the coronavirus will be a thing of the past. It'll be behind us. It'll just be a story that you and I tell to our next generation. But the big question that I want you to think about today is when this just becomes a story that we tell in the future, what will your story sound like? What will your story be about? Will it be a story full of time wasted and inconvenience and frustration? Or will your story be a story about defining moments and a preparation for God's big story that he would like to work through you in this time? Is your story going to be full of defining moments and finest hours, or will it be stories full of wasted times, inconvenience, and frustration? Now, what determines our answer to that question is really our understanding of who you and I are in Christ. I want you to think about this. As Christians, we are children of God, right? You know that. As a Christian, you are called a child of God. You are saved by his mercy and his grace, and you have a promise that you will live with God eternally in the heavens. Yes, we get that and we understand it. But listen to me. You and I were not saved just so that you and I can go to heaven. Did you hear me? It wasn't just our salvation, wasn't just for you and I to go to heaven. You and I were saved with a purpose. And we're saved when we surrendered our life to God. This is huge. Pay attention to this. That we were saved when we surrendered our life to God. It wasn't just that we prayed a prescription type of prayer, but we were saved because we surrendered our life to God. And we surrendered our life to him to join him in his kingdom work, serving alongside him, joining the people who have gone from generation to generation, carrying this message of hope throughout this kingdom and throughout this globe. You and I are joining that story. We have an important, huge responsibility. Listen to me. This is a good thing that we're doing because there is no king. There is no king worthy for you to live and surrender your life for other than Jesus Christ. You've made the right choice. But just make sure that you understood that when you asked him to be your Lord and Savior, that you surrendered your life to join him in his work for his kingdom. I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down, that my salvation was an invitation to join God in a sacred vocation. Did you catch that? I'm going to say it again. That my salvation was an invitation to join God in a sacred vocation. I surrendered my life to God because Jesus paid it all. So everything I have, it's owed to him. And when I was saved, he invited me to join a sacred vocation that is full of responsibility, that will ultimately bring glory to God and point anyone around me to Jesus Christ. That's my sacred responsibility. And we're given clear direction from God's word. This isn't just something I'm saying. God's word teaches us this. He tells us that that sacred responsibility, that sacred vocation is the idea of that we're an ambassador. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we are Christ's ambassadors, that God is making his appeal through us. And we speak for Christ when we plead that we should have people come back to God. You see, God is making his appeal through us. And that sacred assignment that we have is there's no higher calling on earth that you and I have to, as children of God, to make sure that everyone that we come in contact has the ability to see Christ in us. Because people will make a decision whether to follow him based upon who his children are. We want to be seen worthy. Now, we're not perfect, but we certainly need to be striving to live our lives consistent with our Savior. Matthew 28 also tells us about our sacred responsibility. It's called the Great Commission. You know this verse. Many of you have memorized it. It says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Go. There's an action word there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey all the commands that I've given them. And be sure of this, that I am with you till the end of the age. This verse, this word call is not to, just to call us all to the mission field to be full-time missionaries in a foreign land. It's a call for all Christians to live our life right now on a mission. We are saved for a sacred vocation as ambassadors of Jesus Christ in our communities, in our homes, and in our families for the purpose of bringing glory to God and pointing those around us to Jesus Christ. Man, there's a huge responsibility. And that's a call for you and I, church family, to be obedient to that. It's way too easy for us just to be consumer Christians, but there has to be a point in time, and I want that point in time for North Point to be now, where we shift our focus. We're no longer going to be consumer Christians. We're going to be proactive Christians. We're going to be a part of the Great Commission. We're going to be a part of sharing our story with others. Now, I know many of you feel like you're not equipped to do that. But in this season, God has given you and I something that's very, very special. He's given us time. Because the church, yes, in effect, has left the building. Correct. We know that. It's out of the building. We're broadcasting into your home. We're doing church in a brand new different way in this season. But there will be a day that the church re-engages with the community. And right now, between the church leaving the building and the church re-engaging in our community, there's a gap. There's a space. And that gap and that space, if we're wise, we will use it to prepare ourselves to come back and re-engage with the community in a greater way than ever before. Wouldn't it be sad if when the church re-engages in the community, that all the community technically notices is that the parking lots and churches are full again, and that people now are forced to wait longer for their breakfast and brunch because the church people have just gotten out of their services. Wouldn't it be so much more valuable for our church and our community, rather, to be able to see the church active, serving, loving, and being a part of that sacred vocation that God has called us to? You and I need to live our lives as people who are sent. When God's word says that we're to go in all the world, the actual phrase is, it says, as we go. That means it's not just going to a destination, but it's no matter where we go. That means that when we're traveling in the gap moments between this point and this point, there's also times in the middle that our life has these gaps that we're caught here in the middle. We're waiting. It's in those moments that you and I, as we go through those moments, that we need to be looking for God's opportunities, looking as we go about our daily life. Looking as we are stuck in quarantine at home. Looking as we move into whatever that next normal is going to be. And as we go, even through the times of waiting and the times of interruption, things that we didn't expect, we need to make sure that we are looking for God at work in those moments. Now, as an illustration for you and I to be able to think this through, God's word gives us a real clear scripture to follow, and I want to read that scripture, and then I want to share an illustration that will hopefully kind of put this in perspective for you. But God's word teaches us, we don't have to guess how to do this, it's super easy, and you heard me preach about this before. It's Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 10. So how you and I, as we go, in the gap moments, what do we need to do in order to be able to sort this out and to know what our call and responsibility is to do? And it is simple. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we simply need to consult the Holy Spirit, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand what is the best choice to make. And here's what it says, the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. You've heard me preach about this before, church family. I know this is something that is inside your heart. It's inside your mind. You can remember it. God's word goes on to say in verse 11, take no part in worthless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful to even think and talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That's why it said, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. But listen and pay attention here, verse 15. It goes right with what you, be careful to determine what pleases the Lord. Now join me in verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise, and make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't act thoughtlessly, verse 17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. While we are waiting, as the church has left the building, as we're preparing to re-engage into culture, this is not the time for Christians to go offline mentally and act thoughtlessly. This is time for us to engage and to amplify and to prepare to go and fulfill the sacred vocation that God has called us to do. It's a call for us to be proactive. Now, you've heard me preach this message before about carefully determine what pleases the Lord. As a matter of fact, I preached it recently, and I think what God was trying to do in a preparatory way, oh, I love our God, in a preparatory way, he was trying to get you and I on this agenda early because he knew what we were getting ready to walk into. He was understanding that we need to take a fast from those devices because right now we're getting addicted even more to news feeds and to social media than we've ever been before. You and I have to carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Don't act thoughtlessly in this season. And how you and I can do that is by applying a lens and a filter to everything that we can do. And here's the metaphor I want you to take home mentally with you. That as you're going throughout your day and you find yourselves in periods of waiting, when you feel like you're caught in the middle, when you feel like you don't know what to do next, when you feel like you can find your mind drifting to thoughtless behaviors, I want you to have a new lens to look at every situation through. And it's a lens that the Holy Spirit will help guide you. It's as if you would take this sheet and place it over your face, and now suddenly as you peer through it, everything looks different. What you're asking is for the Holy Spirit to be, you know, proverbially this sheet where you're saying, Holy Spirit, what I see with my eyes doesn't make sense in my natural way. But as a child of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of me, would you allow me to see through a filter, to see the world differently, to understand what it is that is uniquely different about this moment and something that you are inviting me to be a part of? Because I don't want to miss what you want me to do as I'm going into this time of waiting, as I'm going through this period of interruption, as I'm going through situations that are so frustrating or so irritating, or just as I'm going through life and it's not even necessarily complicated. I just want to know, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? But there's an action that we must call up. We must evoke this. The Holy Spirit's inside of us, confidently ready to tell us and to guide us in making those right decisions. But if you and I are just leaning on our own understanding all the time, and being a creature of our own habits and drifting back to thoughtless behaviors, you and I won't do this. It's a determined purpose to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to show you and to reveal to you through his lens what it is that you and I need to be able to do to fulfill the sacred vocation with the people that God's placed around you. That means as you're going through even the pharmacy or the grocery store, God may give you an opportunity to see someone who's struggling or who's in need or who's downcast. And although we have social distancing, you can still encourage someone from 6 feet away and you can let them know that God is with them. You can still identify a need and give them something to solve a problem. Folks, we can't hide behind social distancing in order to be able to say that we can't do anything right now. We have to be creative. And through the lens that the Holy Spirit can give us, he can give us creative ways to be able to impact the gospel and still carry out our sacred vocation. Secondly, in this time of waiting, it's time for you to prepare. It's time for you to prepare your testimony, prepare to clearly communicate the gospel so that when those opportunities come, you don't struggle through them. There's no greater time for you to get a pen and paper out and to write out your testimony and to see if you can simply and clearly communicate the gospel if someone were to ask you to give an account for the hope that lives inside of you. Church family, it's all about taking advantage of those opportunities when we're caught in those moments and we're stuck in those middle times. When we do that, we can exchange wasted moments for kingdom moments, and we can exchange wasted hours for finest hours. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty recently of getting caught back up in those device things. It's hard to do. And so I'm preaching to myself as I'm preaching to you. I sit with my family listening to this message as I'm preaching into my own living room and reminded of how important it is for me to keep up with that. And so, folks, this is not easy what I'm telling us to do, but it is the way that God's designed us to live. This is not an opportunity for us to stop thinking. It's not an opportunity for us to act thoughtlessly. It's a time for us to engage. What would the Holy Spirit have us do as we're going through this to please him in our sacred vocation? Now, here's a story from Scripture. And I won't read the whole story to you because you know the story really well, and I want to encourage you, you can read along in Acts chapter 16 on your own, but it's a story of two men called Paul and Silas. Now, Paul, you know really well. Silas is a different cat. Many of you, if I was to say, okay, what were some famous things that Silas is responsible for doing in the Bible? Many of you would scratch your head and say, Paul and Silas did some missionary journeys, and you'd be absolutely right. Paul and Silas did a bunch of missionary journeys to all kinds of cities that you and I probably couldn't recite and quote, unless we see a map or we read Scripture to identify it. But what makes Silas stand out head and shoulders above many other characters in the Bible is not that he just paired up with Paul, but there was a specific event, and you know the event I'm getting ready to explain. It was the time when Paul and Silas had been thrown into jail. They were thrown into jail because they did what felt to be the right thing. They healed a demon-possessed girl, but she happened to be a fortune teller, and that girl was making a lot of money for her slave owner, and then once they healed her from being a demon-possessed child and she could no longer fulfill her obligations as a fortune teller, man, the whole town flipped on them, and then they got thrown in jail. So Paul and Silas, they had just done missionary journey, catch this, missionary journey, missionary journey, missionary journey, and they were getting ready to go into further missionary journeys. They were kind of in a gap moment. And while they were here in Macedonia, they were just doing what they thought they should do, carefully determining what pleases the Lord. And they found themselves in jail. And if you want to talk about a gap moment or a downtime moment or a wasted moment or a time when you feel like you're stuck and caught in the middle, man, these guys were in prison. And they weren't just in prison. They were down deep in the prison and they were chained to the walls. Paul and Silas were chained to the walls. Now, if there's ever been a reason to have self-pity, if there's ever been a reason just to close your eyes and hopefully you can try to get comfortable and sleep, it's one of these moments. If there's ever been a reason to have a pity party, if there's ever been a reason to just be frustrated and kick some sand at God and say, man, what are you doing to me after all that I've done for you? No, that's not what Paul and Silas did. Instead, what Paul and Silas did is they looked through that lens. They looked through that lens of the power of the Holy Spirit and realized that what they were in was not just a wasted hour. This was a defining moment. And this, in fact, would become one of their finest hours. What these men did is they began to sing a hallelujah. They began to praise God. They began to lift their voices. Their weapon was their melody. Did you hear that, church family? We just sang about it. Their weapon was their melody. All they had to do was sing praises to God. And as they sang a little louder, the walls began to shake. And there was a great earthquake. And the walls crumbled. The chains broke free. And these men found themselves miraculously freed from their chains and their bondage. Because they chose in that moment not to have wasted moments and wasted tears, but they chose to make this their finest hour by asking God what would be the right thing for a child of God with a sacred vocation to do in this moment. And God simply said to them, sing, worship me, and I will take care of everything else. Glory to God. That's what they did. They just worshiped God, and the walls shaked, and they were free. And you know what? If it was you and me, I'd be getting out of there as fast as I possibly could. But no, you know what Silas did? You know what Paul did? He picked up that lens again and said, Father, what are we supposed to do? We're set free. Can we go? Can we run? Can we flee? And God said that probably the thing that they would never have dreamed. They whispered in their hearts, stay put. And so they didn't flee. And because of that decision, the jailer, who was going to take his very life because the prisoners he assumed had all escaped, Paul and Silas remained, and they were able to explain to him why they stayed, because of their confident hope in Jesus Christ. They understood that they were saved for a purpose, as a sacred vocation, to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And everywhere they go, as they go, even in the gaps, even in the middle times, even in the hard moments, even where nobody wants to get stuck, they looked around long enough, they listened to what the Holy Spirit would tell them to do, and they stayed and they shared their faith with this jailer, and he became a believer. But not just him, his entire family trusted Jesus and were baptized. Folks, Paul and Silas are a great example to us of what you and I need to do when we're caught in the middle. I don't think you and I will ever have circumstances quite as harsh as what they went through. So how much easier must it be for us right now going through what we go through to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that I can do so I can carefully determine, Father, what pleases you, that I can make the most out of every opportunity, that I wouldn't act thoughtlessly in this time, but I would press in deep into you. Now, the Bible's full of stories like this. Man, I can talk for hours about Jesus Christ. Think about all the things that he did in those middle moments. From preaching on mountains, from feeding the 5,000, to going with the disciples here and there. And on the way he would travel, God's word many times would say that during these moments he would get away to pray, because that's what would please the Lord. He would just step away and pray. Other times as he was traveling through cities, there would be people who would be on the side of the road that he would stop and heal, because it pleased the Lord and it accomplished his purpose. It brought glory to God. And when he did it, over and over we see stories like that with Jesus. In addition to that, in your Go Deeper this week, you're going to have another story. And that other story has to do with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It's in Acts chapter 8. Go read it. I want you to do the Go Deeper this week with your family. It's such a great tool, and it'll really help you kind of unpack this a little bit more. Because in this case, you have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. These two men, one is a believer and one is not. And they're both caught in these middle moments. They're both just finished doing something and they're on the way to do something else. But Philip perceived through the Holy Spirit's attention and focus, he carefully determined what pleased God. He made the most of every opportunity, and he would walk up to this Ethiopian eunuch that was on a cart that it was driving and say, what are you reading? I hear you're reading something, and would lead this guy to faith in Christ. Read this story and recognize that both these men were doing the right thing. As a believer, he was looking for the Holy Spirit to be able to guide him. As a non-believer, he was searching for God to give him clarity to what he was watching that wasn't making sense. And maybe that describes you right now watching this message. Maybe one of your family members has forwarded this to you and you're thinking to yourself, I'll watch it. And you're hearing about a God and you're hearing about a story and you're hearing about a love and you've seen people sing worship songs. What does all this mean? You're trying to unpack it. And maybe today, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, you're going to read about in Acts chapter 8. He didn't understand what he was looking at in Scripture. He needed someone to be able to show him. Church family, there's somebody out there right now praying for somebody like you who would just make the most of this opportunity to help them understand what's happening in the world events that are taking place right now. I believe the Lord's return is closer than we can ever imagine. Why is it that we would want to get back to a new normal? Why isn't it that the church right now would rise up in a preparatory way and be able to practice this method in their lives in these downtimes, but also when we re-engage in the community? I want Wesley Chapel and Lutz and Land O'Lakes to know that the church is back online here in this community when we're able to meet again. But in the meantime, there's no reason why we can't begin to be seen and felt right now in our community and still obey the laws of the land. Let me be clear. Obey the laws of the land. God has put them in authority over us. But find creative ways, safe ways for yourself and for others to be able to share the gospel and the confident hope that you have in you. And here's the cool part, and I'm going to close with this. The Apostle Paul and Silas are the ones that went through this incredible time together. And wouldn't you know it, that Paul would be the one who wrote us the verse that we started this sermon off with today. And that verse was Ephesians 5:10. Paul wrote these words to us. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Make the most out of every opportunity. Don't act thoughtlessly in all your circumstances. You see, Paul wasn't just writing something to you and I that he thought would be helpful. Paul was writing something to you and I that he lived. Paul was in a prison cell practicing this, and he saw the miracles that happened on the backside of it. He saw the defining moments and finest hours that were leveraged because he decided not to act thoughtlessly, but he carefully determined what pleased the Lord. Church family, I wonder what waits around the corner for you. And when you one day get to tell this story to your grandchildren, as we all look back and have versions of this story that we tell, I pray that your story is full of faith lessons where you did not act thoughtlessly and that you made the most of every opportunity, recognizing that you were saved. And when you were saved, you surrendered your life to an invitation to join a sacred vocation. We are on the same team. We have the same responsibility. The problem is, we've been consumers so long in the church in general. The capital C church have been trained to be consumers. But that consumer mindset is not going to win people to Jesus Christ. And that consumer mindset is going to be the very thing that when God returns and he finds us not working on his kingdom sacred vocation, that he will look at us with sadness. It is our responsibility and it is our time. We know that we've got 30 more days that we'll be sheltered in place. Let's make sure that when you're done with this, you're more prepared than ever before to re-engage in the community, not just as a community person, but as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, Easter is upon us. Easter's next Sunday. And instead of inviting your friends and your families to come sit with you at church for Easter, I want you to do me a favor. And I want you to pray specifically and ask God who it is that you would invite to watch this Easter service. Maybe do a watch party where you're watching on Facebook or Instagram or something. However you choose to watch it, but invite people to watch it. Here's what I can promise our staff and team are trying to do. We want to make sure that we are clearly, creatively, and concisely sharing the gospel in such a clear way that anyone who doesn't have a confident hope in Jesus Christ would find it difficult not to understand this day. This isn't going to be about a fancy light show. This isn't going to be about trying to impress people with all kinds of bells and whistles. You know what we're going to try to do? Because God has given us a camera to talk into, and we're inside your living room, and I want you to be able to hear in the best humble, transparent way that I know how to bring. I want you to be able to have your friends and families hear the gospel in such a clear way that maybe they'd be compelled to surrender their life to an invitation, just like you took, to join a sacred vocation. It's my prayer that people you love and care about will come to know Jesus Christ, but they won't come here to hear if you don't invite them and share the link. So pray about who you will invite and be bold to do it. I love you guys. You guys have a great day. Happy Palm Sunday to you. May God bless you. May God keep you healthy and well. Until we meet again, God bless you.